McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, for those of you looking, I suppose, to give up alcohol this season, we've just talked about resolutions. And one of the number one resolutions, by the way, is giving up alcohol, giving up the cigarettes, or losing weight. Alcohol is up there in the top five. My next guest tonight might be of interest to you. But would you be willing to take an opioid to cure your alcohol dependence? Sounds odd, doesn't it? My guest tonight has managed to quit alcohol after a long battle with its use. She's championing a method called the Sinclair Method, which was developed by a researcher, John Sinclair. And the technique sees users take opioid blockers called naltrexone to limit their desire to drink. And she joins me on the line, Katie Lane. Katie, hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
I'm good. Let's go back to the start first before we talk about giving up the alcohol. I mean, how did you end up with the alcohol dependency in the first place? Can you remember the first time you had a drink? And did you think at that moment in your life, this is going to be a dependency for the rest of my life?
That's a good question. And I did just want to correct real quick. A lot of people confuse naltrexone as an opiate, but it's actually an opiate blocker or an antagonist.
So
it's not an opiate medication at all. Just to clarify that so people aren't confused.
Yeah, because I was thinking I was thinking that when I was reading it. Why would you give up one drug to replace it with another? Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Right. Naltrexone is actually not addictive. It's not like opiates. If someone's on opiates and they take naltrexone, it completely blocks it. So anyway, I love that question because I tell people that I feel like I got addicted to alcohol by accident. I was a little bit naive when I started drinking in my early 20s, drinking heavily, thinking this is just a phase that I would outgrow as I got older. But
yeah, I thought that too when I smoked my first cigarette. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't, like, you think you're, or at least I thought I would be invincible to it. And it was just, you know, I was partying and I will stop in a couple years. But as soon as I tried to kind of rein it in, it had a hold on me and I realized I was addicted.
Mm. And when you say addicted, were you drinking heavily? Were you binge drinking or just drinking constantly small amounts? Or what was it for you? Because different people have different experiences, of course, with alcohol addiction.
Yeah, and there's, you know, kind of official measurements of what's considered a binge drinker for men and women, and I think it may vary country to country even. But just for me, I was a daily binge drinker, so that meant get off work around 5 o'clock. I would drink a bottle or two of wine between like 5 to 10 or so, sometimes more. And then the weekends were just binge drinking starting around 11 a.m. until I essentially passed out in the afternoon or evening. And pretty much 7 days a week drinking. I would have an alcohol free day here and there, but it was always very difficult or just the result of like a terrible hangover where I was like barfing all day and honestly couldn't.
That must have been difficult, by the way. I don't know if you were in and out of relationships at the time, but it must have been difficult for anybody managing you in a relationship then if you were kind of doing that kind of binge drinking.
Well, a part of my story is unfortunately a lot of people I dated until I met my now husband, had a similar type drinking problem. So we were kind of enabling
each other
and functioning together.
Okay. That tends to be the way with people who either take drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. They hook up with enablers who will tell them that everything they're doing is right. You've now kind of dedicated your life to helping other people. And of course, this is the time of the year where we think about this more so than any, because we've just had obviously the biggest time of the year for people drinking alcohol, which is Christmas, coming into the new year where people promise to give it up. Unfortunately, people fail. You know, the research shows us that most people who make a resolution to give it up don't last past January. Why is that, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think and I believe for most people what happens, and you're absolutely right, even if you look at the data, it's estimated that 80% or more of people relapse after leaving treatment within 6 months. So the majority of people, if they try to quit, they're not going to stay that way long term. And there's a phenomenon that's been well researched and people can look it up. It's called the alcohol deprivation effect. And what the research shows is that when someone has an addiction or a dependence on alcohol, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, and then they quit drinking, what happens is their brain goes into deprivation mode for the alcohol because the brain is just used to getting this flood of endorphins and dopamine and reward from alcohol, that when it's no longer there, the brain becomes starved of it or deprived of it. And so when that happens, typically the craving or the mental preoccupation for a drink increases. So people are just, you know, maybe they're not drinking, but they're thinking about drinking all the time.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes that eventually leads to them giving into that urge because it's like having an itch that you're not allowed to scratch, or there's different ways to describe it. But that craving is something that I think is ignored oftentimes. And we wonder why can't you just stay sober? Why can't you just quit? For a lot of people, it's that compulsion, that overwhelming urge for a drink that leads them to relapse again.
Yeah. So the idea of taking naltrexone, I suppose, is similar to a smoker replacing it with a vape, maybe, which is less dangerous but still reasonably harmful to some degree. But it's kind of you need to replace it with something rather than just go cold turkey.
Yeah, so the Sinclair Method Protocol, if you look at the research into it, it uses the medication naltrexone, and this treatment's actually unique because people don't have to quit drinking abruptly. They can start the treatment while they're still drinking, and using naltrexone, what it does is it blunts some of the rewarding effects that alcohol provides. And so drinking is just a little bit less exciting, a little bit less rewarding. It doesn't make it an unpleasurable experience. It's just not as rewarding. Mm. And over time, when somebody drinks on naltrexone and they're not getting the same reward, they see themselves get their control back over alcohol because it's not as pleasurable. They see themselves have fewer and fewer alcohol cravings, and alcohol-free days also become much easier as well because they're not craving and they just don't feel like drinking as much. So that's the protocol I use and specialize in. But naltrexone is a medicine that's been researched for decades for alcohol, and it's also used to help people quit drinking because it serves as an anti-craving medication as well.
I mean, some of these new medications are great. I mean, I know a lot of people take Champax, for example, is the one they use for smoking nowadays, the tablet you take, which can make you feel, you know, a little bit unwell if you try to smoke. And so it kind of punishes you in some way. Naltrexone doesn't sound like it does that. It sounds like it just takes away the enjoyable effects of alcohol. But it would be fair to ask, is there any side effects to taking naltrexone? Because it is medication, obviously. Is there side effects, or is there possible side effects to taking that?
Yeah, so it's been approved by the FDA since the 90s for alcohol, and it's considered to be a pretty benign medication. So the common side effects, I've worked in this field for 6 years and have my own personal experience with it, of course. The common side effects that we see typically, and the research that shows this as well, typically they occur in the beginning, and then they go away when the body adjusts in like a week or two. And the most common ones are nausea, upset stomach, sleepiness, or trouble sleeping. Those are kind of the standard ones that people can have. If someone's working with a knowledgeable doctor who is used to treating people with this medicine, there are ways to start the medication in a gradual dose to help minimize or avoid the side effects.
Okay, so your doctor would be able to advise you on that, because there obviously can be obviously absolutely contradictions if you're taking other kinds of sedatives or tranquilizers or whatever it is you happen to be taking along with that as well. So you have to obviously talk to your doctor about, you know, what form of medication you can take with or using naltrexone. So what absolutely is the success rate? Because this, by the way, was researched by a guy called John Sinclair, who I've never heard of, but clearly this guy knew what he was doing. So what's the success rate for naltrexone? Has it been successful?
Yeah, very successful. With John David Sinclair's research, which is, again, the Sinclair Method Protocol, where it's using naltrexone to reduce drinking rather than abstain, the success rate's been proven to be around 78%.
Wow,
so
that's quite high, isn't it?
It works for... Yeah, it works for the majority of people. And yeah, the naltrexone has been researched in other ways as well for decades as an anti-craving to help people stay sober, to help people reduce binge drinking. So it's been researched for decades, even outside of David Sinclair's work, and consistently shown to be a really effective medication for treating alcohol addiction.
And can it work for other addictions as well, naltrexone? Can it work for smoking, for drugs or drug taking, or can it work for other addictions if it takes away those good feelings, I suppose, that all those kind of drugs will give you? Can it work for other things?
Yeah, there are actually studies. It's been shown to work for marijuana use disorder. It has been shown to work for nicotine. It's been shown to work for gambling, for binge eating disorders, for porn addiction, sex addiction. Those are the ones that come top of mind. So yeah, it's been proven to work for a lot of other things. And I recently had a client who he used it for his alcohol addiction, and it then also helped him with his compulsive sex disorder, and he was not expecting that. So that's just one example.
But that was my next question, Katie, that I suppose the concern people might have, if it takes away those good feelings that you get from either taking drugs or whatever it is, which is obviously those endorphins that are released in your brain, which makes you feel good when you take, you know, drugs or alcohol or smoke a cigarette, get nicotine, whatever it is. Can that then have a side effect that if, for example, you're having sex, that you don't enjoy it as much anymore? You know, those good feelings that you get from doing other things, like eating chocolate, they say can release endorphins, which makes you feel good. You know, eating food in general can make you feel good. So does it take away, completely block out all those feelings of feeling good from different things as well as, you know, the alcohol itself?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I've actually asked this of one of the original researchers, different from David Sinclair, but a man named Dr. Volpicelli, who's also been researching this medicine for decades. And in his research, it showed that it didn't really have an impact on those other pleasures. Mm-hmm. He kind of describes like our pleasure center in our brain is like a symphony. So when somebody is taking naltrexone, maybe certain instruments aren't playing or certain pleasure centers aren't activating while they're on naltrexone, but there are a lot of other pleasure centers that are. And then also what's unique with the Sinclair method is naltrexone is only taken before drinking. So for a lot of us, the longer we're on the treatment, you know, we're taking the medicine less often because we're drinking less. And so it's really targeting that drinking episode, and you're not taking it, you know, an hour before you're having your dinner or something like that necessarily. But generally speaking, that's not a concern.
So the whole idea, it's not for taking for life. The whole idea is it's a short term thing while you're giving it up to make it easier for you to give it up, essentially. So it's not something you have to take for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And, you know, with this treatment, people have the option to keep alcohol in their life and drink in moderation. I know plenty of people who drink a few times a year and they take naltrexone those few times a year when they drink as a preventative because they've unlearned the disorder and that keeps them in that state. If they drink again without the medicine, there's a risk of redeveloping it. But all this to say, you know, like I haven't drank in over 6 years. I also haven't taken naltrexone in over 6 years. It really is. If someone's going to go alcohol free through this treatment, they don't need to keep taking the medicine.
I mean, do you look back at your old life wondering how you ended up in that situation in the first place? Do you look back at that part of your life thinking to yourself, how did I end up in there, that situation? I mean, obviously the more logical part of your brain now looks back at that, I imagine.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you nailed it right there because alcohol addiction is really not a logical issue. And so my logical self was thinking, oh, this is just a phase. I'm in my early 20s is what I'm supposed to do. I think it really had to do with some of the people I was hanging around with. Of course, I was an adult making my own choices as well. But I really do mean it when I say it happened by accident. I thought that it was just a phase I was going through. And then, once I realized it was becoming problematic, I was hooked. And I fought for years to get out of it, and I couldn't. Now looking back, because the alcohol deprivation effect, and that's where naltrexone just changed everything. It feels like it reversed the addiction in my brain. Like, it's just gone, it's incredibly freeing.
Well, look, I'm delighted it's worked out for you, and I know you're helping a lot of other people now as well. And if people, by the way, want to get in contact with you or they want to check you out online, do you have an Instagram or somewhere where they can check you out online?
Yeah, I'm really active on social media channels, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Thrive Alcohol Recovery is the channel, and our website, thrivealcoholrecovery.com. But I'm putting out videos pretty much every day answering questions, talking about this treatment. So, yeah, okay. They can find me there.
Or you can just Google Katie Lane. And Lane, by the way, for those of us who don't understand how that's spelled, because it's spelled slightly different in America, is L-A-I-N. That's L-A-I-N. It's not L-A-N-E. Just as you might think it might be spelled.
Correct.
So it's Katie Lane and it's L-A-I-N. Katie, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us tonight, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. There you go, Katie Lane. You can check her out online, by the way. You can check out her website or go to Katie Lane. Just Google Katie Lane. You'll find her. She's in California. And she was talking about naltrexone. Now, remember, of course, that is prescription only. You will have to talk to your doctor about that. I don't certainly want to be recommending something to you. But you can talk to your doctor about it. And they will tell you if there's any contradictions, anything that you might be currently taking. They'll talk to you about the side effects, et cetera, that you might get from it or whatever. I don't know how popular it is over here. I've never heard of it before, actually. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. I've heard of similar drugs for smoking. Like I mentioned Champax, and somebody says, Niall, I tried Champax twice, didn't work for me. It didn't work for me, and it's gone off the market due to side effects, says Daisy. I didn't know that. It's Champax, AJ, gone off the market. I know a couple of people who use Champax, and actually, I know one in particular used to work in the radio station, and she gave up smoking because of Champax. I think the whole idea of Champax was it kind of makes you feel unwell when you have a cigarette. It makes you feel like vomiting or sick when you have a cigarette. So it kind of punishes you in a way. I think that was the purpose of Champax, and I think it worked for a lot of people. Now, of course, we talked about it a few minutes ago, but a lot of people now are taking drugs to lose weight. Again, I don't personally recommend that, but if you want to do it, make sure you do it under the supervision of a doctor. Oh, Champax. Okay, Champax has been withdrawn in the UK and Europe. I didn't know that. There you go. Obviously because of the side effects. And I know there were, some people did say there were side effects. I think some of the side effects were like depression and other things like that. So you've got to be very careful with all of these drugs. And talk to your doctor. Make sure, and I say this, by the way, with every single drug you take, read the warnings. Nobody ever does. I remember talking to a girl years ago, and she was talking to me a really sad story that I won't get into right now. But they were taking antidepressants. And on the warnings for the antidepressants, the warning said the side effect can cause depression. Now, you're taking an antidepressant, and it says can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation, and homicide ideation. And I'm going, these are side effects. So always be careful when you're taking any medication or that it could have counter contradictions with other medications that you're taking, et cetera, et cetera. Always be careful. Always read the warnings. Read the warnings. I bet you most of you don't.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.